The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus entered the headquarters again. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. God, send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts and our minds with the knowledge and love of your truth, of your light, of your passion, of your Christ. Amen. Can everybody hear me? I'll take the silences and know you didn't hear the question. All right. Can you just pop the volume of mine just a touch there, Vaughn? Vaughn's like, what? Can you turn the volume up on me just a little bit? I'd hate for anybody to miss a single word. Today is Christ the King Sunday, also known as the Reign of Christ Sunday. An expression we rarely use, but which is becoming more and more popular as we try to take kind of a gender identity away from a genderless God. I mean, God's not male nor female, so why don't we just deal with that? Now, we do know that Jesus was a dude. That we got. But Jesus and the Christ are not the same thing. Jesus is the manifestation of the incarnate Word, the Logos, the Christ of God. So God chose to come amongst us in the form of Jesus, the man, because in Palestine 2,000 and something years ago, Jesus, the woman, would have had real trouble getting her message out. If Jesus does come back, however, I'm pretty sure we're going to try a different form. But, so, straighten up. So just so you understand completely, okay? So, this is just a little systematic theology. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. The Word of God, the Christ, is the cosmic Christ, not the man who walks amongst us, but a part of the Godhead. All right, enough of that. But the reason why I like the expression, the reign of Christ, better than Christ the King anyways, is because I think it is a clearer expression of who we are called to be, what we are called to be doing, what we are called to live into the reign of Christ. So the first question I have is, what would that look like if we actually allowed our lives to be a place where the kingdom of God bursts forth from? If we lived our lives in the reign of Christ and in the worlds that we inhabit, what would that look like? Well, I take my lead from what we know of the ministry of Jesus. I might as well go to the source, right? If you want to know what it's supposed to look like, why don't we see what Jesus did? So in those 33 years that he was amongst us, three of which is kind of a public ministry, my question is, what did Jesus teach us? What is it that Jesus showed us and how we are called to live in the knowledge of that? Because no matter what Jesus was doing, he was constantly teaching. And teaching in many different ways. That's why the parables are so great, because it's like Jesus coming to a realization that we don't get it, so let's try another format. Back to systematic theology for a second. First year Virginia Seminary. You take a class, it's the whole year long, plus labs, so it's a tremendous amount of time. You take a class called systematic theology. It is the most ridiculously complicated thing ever invented by the human mind to subject onto people who are supposed to be sitting there and supposedly learning something. It's just unbelievable. And the two professors I had for systematic theology, one was Walter Eversley, and one was David Scott. And they had completely different ways of teaching. And they team taught, which was a really good thing, because Walter Eversley would stand up there and give like literally a 2-hour lecture without ever taking a breath. And everybody would be like this, and he'd be, any questions? That's me being nice about the way he spoke. Any questions? And everybody would raise their hand, and he'd start ticking people off. You know, what's your question? That should be in your notes, I already said that. What's your question? And then he would say exactly what he said originally in the hopes that you would get it again the second time in the same words. That's the way Walter taught. Brilliant guy, but not really a down-to-earth fellow. Then there was David Scott, who would stand off to the side. Every other day they would do the lecture, and then the other one would do the labs. David would stand off to the side or sit there listening to Walter drone on. And then he'd be like, does anybody have any questions? And the questions were always about what Walter had said. And David could explain anything 6 different ways until you understood what it was that was being said initially. He was the great interpreter for a large group of anxious first-year students, trying desperately to learn, but all learning in different ways. Some of us are experiential learners. Some of us are auditory learners. Some of us have to see it happen. Some of us are tactile learners. You know, education is getting much better about that, kind of understanding that everybody experiences education differently. And that is really what Jesus was doing. He was kind of the pioneer of this in many ways. He would give us the same lessons over and over and over again in different ways. So, I've only done this a couple of times with you all, and it's always fallen flat, so why not try it again? I mean, why not, right? All right. In one-word answers, just throw at me a couple of the things that Jesus did / taught us. Taught us to do. What did Jesus do? Heal. Love. Forgive. I'm sorry, what? Feed, thank you. Heal, forgive, love, feed. That's probably a good one to start off with. Teach. All right. So my question for you all, has anybody fed anybody in the last 2 weeks that they were not genetically required to feed? Seriously, 2 of you? Has anybody in this room fed anybody in the last 2 weeks who they did not know? Actually, you all did. Every single one of you, at least every single contributing member of this congregation, fed people last week they did not know. I'll give you an example of how and why. Well, how. So last week, we provided a fair percentage of the food that the Hartford Catholic Worker was ultimately able to put together to produce almost 300 turkey dinners with all the fixings and 2 more meals attached. You did that either through donations of your own, the food you brought. You did that through the monetary donations you made to the congregation that we used to buy some of those materials. And you did that by providing me with a salary that allowed me to be at the Hartford Catholic Worker for 2 days, putting those boxes together and being one among many of delivery. Nearly 300 households received multiple meals through your gifts. Do the math really. None of these people ate alone. And in many cases, they were extended families. So I would say by extension, you all fed nearly 1,000 people last week you will never know. Huh. That's really cool. Who sat at the Thanksgiving table or had a conversation with somebody this past week where a sense of forgiveness either of them or of yourself was required to not try to kill each other? You went to Jonathan's family, didn't you? Yeah. Okay. I would suspect, actually, that almost all of us did. At some point during the week, we had a conversation, a civil conversation, with somebody who we disagree with, adamantly. And you chose, or they chose, to get around them. However that happens, that decision was made. Who visited somebody in the hospital the last 2 weeks? Wow, that's actually amazing. That's right. And he's here in church today. But hospital. No, you're doing great. Don't worry about Bob. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pull somebody out of the crowd for a second. I know for a fact that Taffy Wilcox, who I saw come in, regularly sits with multiple people while going through the hospice experience, while preparing for their death. That is an act of psychic healing. And I'm pretty sure that many of you have done the same thing. How many of you sat at table in the past couple of weeks and experienced loss? The fact that somebody was not there who you wish could have been. It's the human condition, right? And yet we sat there together. That is also an act of healing. So my point is that if these are the things that Jesus showed us how to do, and we are actually doing them without even being conscious of it, or doing them without even knowing it, without somebody else pointing it out to us, the reign of Christ exists. The kingdom of God is alive and well in the little worlds that we inhabit. That's amazing. That's empowering. Now you're thinking, if you're anything like me, you're thinking, yeah, I did that. It was no big deal. And too many people didn't do it. It doesn't matter. Anybody who has ever been in relational therapy knows the first lesson is what? Who's the only person you can change? No matter how hard you try on that other. The only person who you can change is yourself. So the only person that you're responsible for when it comes to this is yourself and those whom God has entrusted into your care. If we each continue to live our lives trying to hang on to this idea that there is something better, there is a better way, we know what it looks like. That's when change happens. Slowly, annoyingly, frustratingly, but really. Now this is where David, King David, comes into the story. David is an amazing character for all kinds of reasons. Here is a little boy, as the story goes, plucked out of the sheep herd where he was tending his father's sheep and anointed by one of the great prophets as king, the king of Israel. Seriously? Which was the same thing all his brothers said. Seriously? And David grew from that little child into a physically, spiritually imposing character. But he was also unbelievably human. David was a big man with huge appetites, and most of them not healthy ones. We don't need to get into the litany of David's rap sheet, but it ain't pretty. But in the midst of all that falling down, no matter how deep the pit was that he fell into, no matter how sideways he got with God on a regular basis, he continued with what he had to try to be faithful to that anointing. He was a complete train wreck. But yet, he was the king of a nation. A successful king of a nation. The beginning of a long line. Because no matter how human he was, his faithfulness kept him trying. And in the end, as we read today in the first reading, he basically accomplished what God had asked him to accomplish. It wasn't direct and it wasn't pretty, but it happened. We are not called to bring the kingdom of God into the world. We are not called to be Jesus. We are just called to be faithful participants in that. We are followers of a man who chose Peter, James, and John as the beginning of a movement, the worst human resources decision in the history of ever. And yet, the goofiest of the bunch, Peter, is the rock on which the church was built. Not an obvious choice until you think about it. If Peter, James, John, David, and all the folks like them that came before us can do this, guess what? We can too. To me, that is the message of Peter. If he can do it, I can do it. Now, I look at folks like Mother Teresa, Jonathan Edwards, Martin Luther King, Prisca, and I'm like, that's a little high bar for me. But Peter, I can do that one. Because if you haven't noticed, like Peter, I always got an answer. And like Peter, it ain't always right. But you're patient, and I'm stubborn, and we're going to figure it out together. So the kingdom of God, the reign of Christ, is alive and well in your heart. And as long as you nurture it, and let the people around you nurture it, this thing's going to work. Just don't get so frustrated. Don't just get so annoyed because you're not doing it alone. We are in this together. And I guarantee you, God will win. God will win. Every time. Amen.